Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of you all that are joining us around the world. God bless you for your faith. God bless you for your determination to walk with God every single day of your life. And we're glad to have you on board with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining with us. All of you that's joined us from Blog Talk Radio around the world. All of you on YouTube. Welcome to all of you that join us by YouTube. And then, of course, the foundation. All of you that join us by Zoom every day and you're standing with us in faith. Brother Roger, Brother Dan's got, they got the anchor position tonight. And it's going to be a good night. Tonight, we're going to be reading the book of Romans. I've said to us many times to whenever you want to study the Bible and see what it actually says, good thing to do is get your Bible program out and search up a word, find out how many times it's in the Bible, the New Testament, and then begin to read those verses out loud. And you will find that all of a sudden you'll begin to get a much more complete view of the Word of God in your life, especially on that subject. You know, whenever somebody speaks of a specific subject of the Bible, topical message, and you and I can't, we can't produce, whether you know the address, produce two or three verses on that, then that means that's one of those places where we need to study, show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, that can rightly understand the word of Almighty God. And so we encourage you to do that. Of course, we've been studying about righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when you go to the book of Romans, it's got, I think it's 39 times that the word righteousness is used in the book of Romans. So I was just praying the other day and the Holy Spirit just said, why don't you just use your own advice and just study it word by word. And so as I begin to get into this, I realized that read the word righteousness in the book of Romans, you realize 39 times in 14 chapters or 16 chapters, whatever it is, that's quite a few times. So in chapters 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, we have the word righteousness used many times. And so I think tonight we're going to just read those verses right out loud. And that way we're going to get the revelation of what Holy Spirit was saying through the Apostle Paul as he wrote the book of Romans. And you're going to really enjoy this. I'm going to read it out loud, going to read it slowly so that we have time for the revelation to show up in our hearts and our minds. Thank God for the ability to enter in that manner, you know, right here on Zoom and Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. And we welcome you to be with us. Now, we'll get that started in just a minute. As we have done so often since we began this ministry, I want us to make our opening prayer and our opening confession like we do, because this nation is, we are on the edge of the greatest breakthrough that we've ever seen. And you and I have got to be faithful to stand in the gap and make up that hedge, just like God said to the children of Israel in the book of Ezekiel. He said, I sought for a man that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Well, of course, in that day, he didn't find anybody, and the nation had to be destroyed. And we, of course, you and I have just read that as we've read through the Old Testament to read the Word. And it's like, wow, interesting, interesting place Israel was in and Judah. And, of course, we would always say, no way I'm going to get there. But the United States of America is there right now today. You and I are the force. We are the restraining force of the enemy on this earth. And so God help us to be faithful to speak his word out loud, very boldly, in Jesus' mighty name. So here we go. We will share the screen. And see if I can have all this show up in the right spot here. Now, I would encourage those of you who are at home to make sure you speak these verses right out loud. Now, when we're doing a confession like this, I ask the Zoom audience to keep your mic muted during the confession, because it makes it that much more of a professional recording for us that way. And I'll be like, Paul, I implore you. I'm not going to beg, because we're children of the King. I'm not going to beg you. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren and sisters, to, when we make these declarations, say them right out loud in your house. Even if you got to get up and leave the room while you're listening, if you can't just speak them right out loud where you are, I encourage you to do so, because one puts 1,000 to flight and two, 10,000. And the only way in the New Testament to activate your faith is by a spoken word. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Well, how'd he do that? He spoke that he believed in God. God said, go, he went. God said, do, he did. God said, sacrifice, he did. And he spoke the words that came along with it. So I declare in Jesus' name that we have a whole multitude of people who join with us on this confession. Now, those of you that's joining us on YouTube, looks like we're running about 25 people a night. Right in there is what we're running on our YouTube channel. And thank you. Thank you for being there and being a part of it. And being a part of the program and being a part of us, growing and developing in God. If you want to sign in and say your name, welcome. You're welcome. What I always do whenever I'm on somebody's YouTube is I sign in and say, God's moving in North Dakota, and make some statement like that so that they know North Dakota is listening to their program. And then once we see your name, we get you on our prayer list, and we begin to speak the word of God over you every single day so that there'll be deliverance and victory and miracles and strength and power that goes on in your life in Jesus' mighty name. Well, here we go. Rise together with me. We'll make our pledge of allegiance, and then we'll make our confession and our declaration of faith and speak to the isms, the word of God's power, and then we'll get ourselves kicked off here with Romans chapter 3 is where we'll begin. Render your honor. Let's make our pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence while we remember those who are missing in action, those who are serving today, those who in some point in their life because of combat carry the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and their body, trauma, fear, pain. We bind you and we say by the stripes of Jesus, our troops and veterans are healed. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who stood somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. And now our opening prayer. Join us as we pray this together. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God. As the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we minister to the saints around the world, according to God's holy living word, God sees our determination to change our world. Hebrews 6:10, God will never be unjust and forget our work and labor of love which we have shown toward his name, in that we have ministered to the saints here and around the world. My life, say it boldly, my life is a seed. I am sowing now to bless others. I give, and I know that what I give will be given to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put into my life. For with the same measure that I use to sow, it will be measured back to me in the same measure. We fulfill the Great Commission right now today. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let's bless the nations of the world that are with us tonight. Anytime you come and watch this video, say the names of these nations right out loud with us. God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. We bless thee, our partners, and each believers in these nations. United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Uganda, Tunisia, Oman, United Arab Emirates, New Zealand, Australia, New Guinea, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, India, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, Kazakhstan, China, and all the nations of the world. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. Now we declare this over every believer. It doesn't matter what nation you're in at all. All you got to do is speak this word, and this word works in your nation. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. And now, our prayers for the fivefold ministry. Ephesians 4:11. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness today. It's not there, but pause for a minute. Father, may every pastor of every church be so bold, standing up to these abortion perversion that their whole community senses and understands their boldness, and may their churches be filled with believers who stand in faith every day. In Jesus' mighty name, forgive us of our sin of abortion and heal our land in Jesus' mighty name. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Two verses side by side where the Holy Spirit is telling you and me, God wants us filled with all the fullness of God. Here's the result. So that we no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose the wicked, deceitful plotting that's in the church, but speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now here's your declaration. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others. And Father, as the pastor of this ecclesia, this body of Christ, I receive their gift and I bless it and I declare that it grows and multiplies and they are extremely successful and blessed in every part of their life as they flow in their gift. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. Now pause for a minute. All over this nation right now tonight, Father, there are anti-abortion meetings going and there's abortion meetings going. There's political meetings for the left, the right, the middle, and all around the whole circle. In the mighty name of Jesus, may the patriots of this great nation stand up and hold on to we, the people, that we must walk with you, God Almighty. May they begin with the pledge and prayer. May they talk about righteousness. And we declare they'll end with the prayer and invite people to find you, Jesus. We call it done in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. As we, the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now, the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, may this prayer spread across this nation everywhere. May we share it on our Facebook pages and it go all the way across this nation, Lord, and people be found faithfully serving. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now let's pray for a minute before we begin the declaration against the isms. Father, all across this nation, there's a horrible onslaught of our enemy that you defeated. And right now, we make our declaration in you, Lord. All power, all authority, all might, all dominion, all strength, all honor, and all glory belong to you. Thank you that you have given us the restraining order on this earth. Tonight, as we pray this prayer, Father, we can see the angels of God going through the heavenlies and interrupting every meeting of wickedness that's going on, no matter what side of the aisle they're on, no matter how rich they are or how whatever they are. Interrupt those meetings of wickedness, Father. Interrupt them and establish righteousness right here again in the United States of America. Make this declaration with me. In the name, high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power, might, and dominion, in the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind all of the effects of the isms: atheism, secular humanism, communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, racism, and all isms. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, which is our strength. Righteousness exalts this nation. God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. To all the isms, you have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you. Not our Bibles, not our Constitution, and not our rifles. You may think that we have been defeated, but we haven't. We, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. We declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. Every pit you have dug for freedom, liberty, and the United States of America to fall into, you fall into yourself and are destroyed immediately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are rebuilding, the walls of righteousness. Watch this verse. This is from today's proverb. Proverb chapter 11, verse number 10. When it goes well with the city, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. But the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. It is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. There's one more here that I wanted to read. Oh, there we go. Verse 18. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. You and I have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. He delights in you and me. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. What that means is the wicked will be punished. But the posterity of the righteous will be delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And now our prayer, binding secular humanism. Hold on, let's pray this. I keep hearing this from the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I bind us together in love, in faith, so that we, the people of God, all over this nation, do not fail to stand up right now and win the greatest political victory that the United States of America has ever seen in its history. Can I get a great amen or something?
Great amen.
Amen and amen. Now, I heard Brother Lou Engle saying, I know that we use binding to stop evil, But it's all right to bind us together in love and faith. We bind us together in love and faith all across the body. Every one of us standing against the rebellion against God and his divine attributes. Here we go. God our Father, in the name of Jesus, which is high above every name, high above every principality, every power, might, and every dominion. In the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind the effects of the demonic actions of humanism that have dared to try to take root in our nation. We declare that the ecclesia, God's governing body of authority on the earth, we have repented of our sins. We are seeking your face. We have risen up and we are prophesying and proclaiming boldly the word of God against this rebellion. We bind the perverse spiritual forces behind humanism, declaring that by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, the humanistic agenda and all of its yokes are destroyed by the word of truth from the mouth of the believers. All of its efforts are dead from the roots up, and the believers will be able to say like the disciples, "Master, that tree we cursed is dead." With your authority, might, dominion, and empowerment, we prophesy the end of the humanistic agenda. The voices of the ecclesia will continually become louder than the voices of the humanist abomination. Make it bold. We are the righteous, and we are as bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah in us. We raise our voices louder than the government. We know as we pray, you hear our voice in heaven, and their voice is only heard by man on earth. We know you hear our prayers. We know that we have the petitions that we ask. We know you are baptizing the body of Christ with power from on high to contend for the faith and take authority over this force of wickedness. We declare deliverance and salvation comes today to those who have been bound by its deception. We believe that all across this land, a powerful demonstration of your ecclesia will be seen continually. We ask for it. We declare it. We prophesy it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen and amen. And now, let's say this a little bit more about where we're at in America. Elaine, welcome. Sister Rebecca, Sister Angel, love you guys. Glad to have you all with us tonight. Everybody say hi to Sister Elaine, all the way from the beautiful Samoan Islands. Welcome, 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 Elaine.
Hello, Sister Elaine.
It's good to have you with us. It's good to have you with us. Now, for those of you that's paying attention, and if you're not, I command you tonight, pay attention. You need to know what's on your ballot in 1 month, there is 3 weeks to vote on. You must know what's on that ballot because you're going to want to make sure when you go in there that you are voting the right way and making your voice be heard. And between now and then every single day on purpose, proclaim over every bit of it, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. You come here, we're going to be standing in faith every day in the prayer program, but I'm going to tell you, if there's ever a time that we stood up and was righteous, it's now. If there's ever a time that we got to pray for the church of Jesus Christ to come alive and get up and mobilize together, it is now. Father, in Jesus' name, give dreams and visions to people who didn't even necessarily believe in them. May they wake up with a dream from you, Lord, so that they can, so that they wake up and see what's actually going on all around us in every state of this union. Father, we bless every one of our brothers and sisters from around the world. We know there's horrendous governments that they belong to. And we declare that they will be as bold as we are, standing up for the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Maybe I should say that the other way. Help us be as bold as they are to stand up for righteousness, Jesus, and to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for our nations all around the world. All around the world. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray this. Now we bless every spiritual leader, every political leader, every campaigning man and woman of God. Be anointed, and everywhere you go, speak life and life more abundantly to the people that you come in contact with. I encourage every one of you, anybody that's amongst us, I encourage you that you go into your community and speak life and life more abundantly. Every time you hear a ambulance or a fire truck or the cop cars, in the mighty name of Jesus, speak life to your community. Because what we just read right there is that the righteous, it all goes well with the city, with the righteous, when the city rejoices. And the blessing, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. So we bless our political leaders to be righteous. We bless them to be holy. We bless those that's running to be righteous and holy. Give every one of them a dream, Jesus. Help every one of them see the destruction that's right in front of our eyes and stand boldly. May this midterm election have more votes than any midterm election ever on record in the United States of America. We mobilize the people by our prayers. Get up, get busy, get serious, know what you're voting for, and do your biblical word of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Now, I got some news I got to tell you tonight. Because another one of our beloved brothers has crossed over into the other side of heaven. And I opened up my Facebook this morning, and I saw that one of my truck driving buddies and a man I went to school with in Kentucky, his name's James Denny Jr. You guys have seen him on here, being a part of it with us. He never came on and said much publicly, but he was there just over and over. Not sure what happened, but he crossed over to the other side this morning, and his family was posted on Facebook how much they missed him, how much they loved him, and how much of a wonderful man he was. And he loved our program, and he loved to be a part of what we were doing. And I have not given him permission to go. So I really am expecting the angels to bring him back. Let's pray for that family right now. James is 54 years old. So he's a very young man. And he's got children and grandchildren and stuff. And so let's pray for this family. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the Denny family now.
Denny, but no.
Just like we prayed for the Davis family. And we prayed for every one of these other ones that have lost. Well, every one of us have lost somebody throughout this last year or two. And so in the mighty name of Jesus, we hold them up now. We don't know any of them except James, Lord. But as is the case, when your dad goes to heaven, when grandpa goes to heaven, and it's early like this, there's a big hole left in people's lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare whole, be filled by the presence of Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, you said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That means you arrive and help them to be comforted, so that mourning doesn't turn into a spirit of affliction and a spirit of grief and a spirit of destruction. We bind you right now. I bind you, spirit of grief, in every one of the people's lives that are listening to my voice this evening right now. I bind you, spirit of affliction and confusion and that spirit of severe sadness. In the mighty name of Jesus, your power is broken, and I speak life and life more abundantly to you right here, right now, today, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Help us, Lord, help all of us to live knowing that on any day we might cross over and see you face to face, and help us be faithful to the end to walk with you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, Sister Mary Pastorick, give us a real quick 1 minute update on your health.
Alive and well. That 1 minute, I'm alive and well.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a good report.
I have to say something, though, that may take a little bit longer than a minute. You know me. That's the way I am.
You got a minute and 10 seconds then.
Start counting. This morning, I was having my little talk with Jesus. I haven't really been feeling well. I just got a lot of these fiery darts coming at me and all this kind of good stuff. My health is going up and down, and I'm still in doctor's care, and all these fiery darts coming at me. And I said, Lord, what is that word? I need that word. And he gave it to me. I was able, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, to dig into my biblical junk drawer and pull out my mustard seed of faith and my buckler.
Hallelujah.
And I say, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is good.
Amen. He is. Don't know where he's taking me, but taking me. He gives me the manna I need on a daily basis, whether it's spiritual or monetarily.
Amen.
And I just thank God for that. I really, really do.
Amen.
I needed that word buckler today. I really needed that.
Amen.
Because I just needed it, and he gave it to me, and I just thank God for that.
Amen. And so do we. Now, I want to know, did the vertigo go away?
Sunday. I didn't have any Sundays.
Thank you.
I believe the vertigo came from my blood pressure was very, 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 very low. In fact, when I went to the doctor, I heard the nurse say that blood pressure like that, they're usually hospitalized. And the doctor changed my medication, and it was really rough for me until Sunday morning I was able to get up and not have vertigo.
Amen.
But, you know, other issues follow because they're adjusting my medication and stuff. And,
okay.
You know, still got all these little fiery darts shooting at me and stuff like that. But I got my buckler. So praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I overpaid 1 minute and 10 seconds or so. I'm sorry.
You did. And we'll charge you at the end of the program.
Okay. You can do that.
Love you, Mary. Let's pray for Mary. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for our dear sister. We thank you for health in her body. We speak to the body of Mary Pastorek. You listen to the spirit that says, by the stripes of Jesus, you have been made whole. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of Mary's body, and we speak life, and we release that life to get busy and bring it all into order. We bless Don. We bless Clay. We bless Mary to be the spiritual giant and leader that she needs to be for her family every single day. Thank you, Lord, for the growth and the development that we've been able to see in her life. And we bless her now in Jesus' name. We bless Sister Angel Collier. And we declare life and health in Angel's body. We declare when the doctor looks at her, he says, nothing is necessary. Be healthy and be strong in Jesus' mighty name. We bless our sister Kathy Angaroni and Joey and Dane and Derek and Michael and Rivers. We declare in the mighty name of Jesus, autism, your power is broken and it cannot control these people's lives another minute in the mighty name of Jesus. Life and life more abundantly to every one of the believers who are with us. Father, those men and women that are around the world who we don't know their names or what to call out. In Jesus' name, we say, be made whole by the name of Jesus, by the power of Almighty God, according to his holy word. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Let's get ourselves, what'd you say, Rod?
But God is a great physician.
He is a great physician, amen. And you just have to keep standing right through all of the attack against you. That ain't nothing more than the enemy trying to get you to surrender your faith. Never surrender your faith in God. You have the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living right in here. It is impossible to make the Holy Spirit sick, but you can make the temple he's in sick. So drive that enemy off and say, Holy Spirit, be as big inside of me as you was inside of Jesus. And that ends up getting you raised from the dead, because that's what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same one, the exact same spirit, raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead also gives life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. Say it. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. Amen. And he is a river of living water flowing out of me. I took a big long drink so you guys could say that. It's pretty cool. Now, here's where we are tonight. Let's get ourselves started. Somebody give me a mark. Let me see if I can mark it by this. 5721. So that I can put a timestamp in for that. Now, we've been studying the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I encourage you to get the last 10 messages we've done and just keep listening. They're powerful. Everyone has a different thought, but they're all in the same message. And that is that when we receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then like Paul said, when you awake to righteousness, you will not sin. So that's been the focus of our messages here. Now, tonight, our focus is on the verses with the word righteousness in it that comes from the book of Romans. And we're gonna study, we'll read a couple other verses before we get there. But then I'm just going to read Romans chapter 3 through Romans chapter 8. In the book of Romans, when you go to your Bible program, this is my Bible program. Well, let me just, I'll share my screen. I like to do this so that people can see it and watch it happen right here on the screen. This is my Bible program. It's called eSword. And as you can see, I've got the word righteousness highlighted. And so I'm going to go to my Bible. You can see the blue word Bible on the left and in the center. And when you look right underneath of it, it shows you the New King James Version. That's the version I have my Bible in all the time. So I'm going to go over to the search panel right here to the right. Click on that. Type in the word righteousness. And we'll see that in the book of Romans, it's used times the word righteousness is used in the book of Romans. 30 verses, 36 times in those 30 verses, that word actually appears. Now, if you click on the NT, you'll see that word righteousness is used 87 times or 95 times in 87 verses in the New Testament. And in the whole Bible together, the word righteousness is used 315 times in 296 verses. So what do you take from all that, Pastor? Well, righteousness is a very, it is the most important subject that you will ever need to study, because it is the very core of your being as a believer in God. Without righteousness, no man will see the Lord. No, that's actually, it says holiness. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Now, let's go real quick to 1 Corinthians. You'll see I go down there and click on 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. And let's run down here to verses 33 and 34. And somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
Amen. Now let's read. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits or behavior. Verse 34, awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to their shame. Let's read it again. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to their shame. Now, go with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Nope, it's 5, but it's okay. We were close. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. I want you to see this. This is an important set of verses. Now, let me say this before I read these verses. Every one of you who are with me tonight, and you've been a part of this ministry now with me for the last 2 years. Now, some people might say 2 years, that's no big deal. Except these people have been with me 2 years, 7 days a week, most of you. And I thank you for that, and thank you for your faith. Thank you for the power of God that resides in you. Thank you for growing and developing God. Nothing I'm saying tonight is pointed at anybody except for us to say, let's go to the next level. I'm very confident in all of you. But look at what Paul says here by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5 about growing up and being a mature Christian. For by this time, verse 12, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. You might say, wow, is he talking about me, Pastor? Well, I'm going to put it this way. He's talking to all of us. But all of us have grown in God. But all of us are looking at that next place he's telling us to get to. Look at 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's read it again. Let's read 13 and 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We're on our way to our reading assignment tonight. Look at this verse. Romans 10. Verses 1 through 10. Romans 10, 1 through 10. And then we're going back to the beginning of Romans. Now watch this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Want to join with me? May Israel be saved. And may all your family be saved. Here comes Mary. We gotta make Brother Roger. Make sure Mary Pastor Rick's seat belts a little bit tighter. She got bumped out on that last bump right there.
She must be going down this road.
Hard to get back in too.
Love you, Mary.
Must be going down Michigan Road.
If you're enough, you'll remember it.
It's like the one bumper sticker says, "Officer driving, I'm dodging potholes." All right, there you go. Romans 10:2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. There's a lot of people that you and I know that have a zeal for God, but they don't have any depth of understanding of God. Well, zeal don't do you no good if you don't know what to do with it. You're just going to run around burning hot, and the next thing you know, you'll burn out. Verse 3, look at this statement. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So the law's done. You don't have to do all these 75,000 things in order to be right with God. 5, Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by those things. So if you live by the letter, then you're going to die by the letter of the law. Verse 6. I love these next 4 verses. But the righteousness of faith speaks this way. There's our statement. The righteousness of faith. Do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven and bring Jesus down from above, or who will descend into the abyss to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? What does the righteousness of faith say? Say this with me. My righteousness is talking.
My righteousness is talking.
You got your righteousness. Go ahead, Mary.
I want to say my righteousness is listening.
Now, watch how it says it. The word is near you. Where? In your mouth and in your heart. That's the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
Now watch. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. The way you get righteousness is believe. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Now think about what we just read. Hold your finger there. Let's go back over here to Hebrews chapter 5, and let's just read that verse again. 5:13. Everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Well, verse 6 says the righteousness of faith speaks. Verse 8 says the righteousness of faith speaks. And verse 10 says, for with the heart One believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 21. We're laying this out. We're making it very simple, very methodical, very biblical, very many verses to lay out this doctrine so that you can see it. Verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. When you're born again, the blood of Jesus washes all the sin away, purges it from your conscience, according to Hebrews 8 and 9. And then Jesus fills you with his righteousness. He fills you with his righteousness. Look at verse 21. For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, Jesus did not sin, to become the sin for us, or the sin sacrifice for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You are literally made into the righteousness of God.
What chapter?
That's 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 21 are those two verses. Now,
thank you.
You're welcome. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 3. Now, I've laid out these foundation verses many different times, and that's what good preaching is. Good preaching continually lays out the foundation, and it drives that foundation so deep and so wide that a large edifice, a large house can be built upon it, because that's the desire of God, that your house will be built on a solid foundation of God's word. Now, I'm going to put a timestamp in right at the beginning so that you can, or, you know, that where the message begins, so that you can come back to this video and click on that timestamp and hear this beginning part of this message again over and over, because it's the establishing factor of the righteousness of faith. Now, we're going to go back. Say again.
Why do I struggle with that word righteousness?
Because you're just straight up a sinner.
Because I was?
I was teasing with you, Mary.
I didn't hear you, so go ahead and say it again.
That's good. Nobody tell her what I said. No.
I'm here to learn, so you're going to have to put up with me whether you like it or not.
Well, here's the reality. The reason that any of us have struggled with it, and until we get the revelation of Scripture, every one of us will struggle with this. Because the law, which is Moses, said, no matter what you do, you won't be good enough. So you need the Day of Atonement, when the blood was shed, and they were made one with God again until they sinned, and then they had to wait all the way to the next year for the Day of Atonement. Well, that's the law. But when Jesus died and he said, it is finished, he tore the veil of the temple and he gave us access to the throne of God. And the Bible says in Hebrews that you and I are to come boldly to the throne of God. The only problem with that is that every time you show up there and there's sin in your life, you're hiding, you got shame, and you don't feel clean. And it's like, but I'm doing, listen to the statement, I'm doing everything in my power to be a Christian. The only problem with that is that's not how it works.
Okay, explain.
And until we get the righteousness comes from Jesus and we receive it by faith, then we're going to continually try to do something to be righteous, which is the law. The law passed away 2,000 years ago. So every time you and I are trying to do something to be righteous, we're operating under the law, not under grace. Under grace, by faith, are you saved? By grace, are you saved through faith? What? Jesus isn't standing in front of you so that you can take some of his blood and dump it over you. Once, the Bible says, once for all, he shed his blood. So what you and I have to do is receive by faith our salvation, by faith our righteousness, by faith the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, the wonderful thing about receiving him by faith is you get an immediate manifestation in your life. When you're born again, you're filled with light. You're no longer in darkness. When you receive his righteousness, it makes you clean and righteous and holy. Now, the reason that people struggle with this verse is we've been told our whole life by the churches of America, the only thing that's important is get saved. Once you get that done, that's all that matters. And that is extremely erroneous.
Amen.
Because all getting saved did is got you in the kingdom. And if you don't ever do anything more than that, you might be one of the five foolish virgins who don't get in. Jesus.
Let me ask you this. Where my brain comes from, I have been baptized in the name of Jesus. That's my outward expression of I accepted Christ as my Savior.
Mm-hmm.
I accepted Christ. I welcome him into my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes into your heart, you change. You really do. You change as a person. And what I feel like I need to do at that point is learn the ways of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I need to learn to walk and talk like he walks and talks.
Mm-hmm.
My God-given ability. Now, is that right or wrong?
Well, most certainly that's right. Most certainly. And what you realize is the Holy Spirit of God helps you begin to build a at-oneness relationship with the Father. And,
is that righteousness? Is that what you call righteousness?
Well, this is...
When you take on the Lord's ways, is that what you call righteousness, when you take on his ways?
Well, yeah, most certainly. Most certainly. But let's put it into... Let's put it into a couple of verses that'll make sense. Psalm 23 says, he leads us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So once you're born again, then you live every day saying, help me walk with you today.
Yes.
He's going to lead you on the paths of righteousness every day. That's Psalm 23. I think that's verse 3, Angel. I think it's what it is. Might be 4, but it's one of those two verses. But he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So once you're born again, even though you don't understand the depth of everything I'm saying today, if you just begin to walk with God every day, and just make that your prayer. Help me walk with you today. He will lead you into rightness, righteousness, because your new nature is righteousness. And his first step will be get rid of the outward sins of your life. Of course, you're made new. You really won't want those anymore anyways, because that will violate that righteousness. And then once he gets rid of the outward sins, he begins to deal with the inward sins of bitterness and hatred on the inside that you that nobody can see unless you open your mouth and say something. Nobody can see that's there. Well, once he helps you get past that, then he begins to help you see your motives. And at every step of this, he's leading you into another path, the deeper paths of righteousness. Now, where we, the reason the Holy Spirit is having me stay on this subject as long as I am, is not because I don't think you guys have it. You guys have been listening to me now for 2 years on this.
That's the first time I heard you say that, of what you just said, though. About he works on the inward motives and
yeah.
whatever you say, those two things.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've heard you say that, which makes sense.
Well, I have a box of Q-tips I'll send you. It was a joke.
That
was a joke. Clean your ears, though. No, I'm just joking.
You know what? Just because of your little comments, the good Lord's going to have me stick around and test you for a long time.
Wait a minute. Wait. I'm just teasing with you, Mary. No, but see, here, this is the revelation.
I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. You pick on me. You know what? The good Lord's going to test us only, so... That means you're just going to have to put up with me that much longer.
I'm not worried about that. We love it. We're glad you're around here. We're glad. And it's good. And it's been awesome to see your growth in God. So now the reason that we're on this right now is I had somebody send me a question about 2 weeks ago now that said, what effect does our sin after we're righteous actually have, after we're born again, actually have on Jesus? Does our sin actually affect Jesus? When that question was worded that way, I was like, well, yes, most definitely yes. And I was about 2 hours, really, of just searching my spirit and the word, saying, where is that verse? Where's that verse? Where's that verse? But let me just read it. It's Hebrews 10. And this is verse 24 through 31. And this is talking about righteousness again. And so the reason we got into all of this about righteousness that we've studied in the last 2 weeks now is the first night led us one part and the next night led us to another part. And the Holy Spirit's just been having me just follow him as we walk through this so that we can build a great, wide, wonderful revelation. So listen to these verses, Hebrews 10, 24 through 31. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. 26. Now watch this verse. I'm sure you're looking at it with your eyes in your Bible. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Verse 28, anyone who rejected Moses' laws died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If two or three people saw a person sin against the law, they could go and report them and they would be stoned immediately in the street. Verse 29, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will a man be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? That's what happens when we sin after we're born again. We trample the Son of God under our foot. We count common the blood of Jesus, and we insult the Spirit of grace. Now, all of a sudden, we better start looking at this righteousness word and get an in-depth understanding of what it's about, how much power it has, how it works, and we better get it down and get it into our lives, because there ain't a one of us that want to trample Jesus under our feet.
Amen.
There's not a one of us that want to consider common the blood by which you were purified and sanctified. And there ain't a one of us that wants to insult the Spirit of grace. But I just read seven verses that describes that is exactly what goes on. Verse 30. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people, not the world. God will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So the reason that I've spent all this extra time is by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, so you and I can get an in-depth understanding of the word righteousness, not only so we ourselves walk in it, but so that we have the ability, anytime we meet someone and they're struggling with sin, to just look at them and say, I know what your deal is. You don't understand the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And they might look at you and say, what? Yeah, and then just say, the righteousness of faith. And they might say, what? But what's going on is they've never been taught anything except you must be born again, and that's all that's important. Oh, and by the way, come to church, and if you don't pay your tithe, you're going to go to hell. Now, see, you can't imagine how many hundreds of thousands of Christians, that's the only doctrine that they know, and that's the only doctrine that they hear, because what they teach you, and every message in that church is a salvation message, because all that's important is that you get born again and now come to church and pay your tithe. Now, most of them who teach it, they don't realize all they're doing is following what the guy before him taught them. And what's interesting that happens in that is the Holy Spirit will lead every one of them pastors to a point where they got to come face to face with what the Word of God actually says, because someone will sit down across the table from them and say, Pastor, what about this? And now they got a choice to make. Am I going to stay with this doctrine, or am I going to move on and go to a new level with God, which is what you and I are continually doing all the time. Now, we're going to get to these verses because the Holy Spirit wants me to read these chapters together, so that we can hear them all read out loud together without any preaching in the middle of them, just reading them out loud exactly how the Holy Spirit inspired it to Paul as he wrote the book of Romans. What happened to us from this is we'll be like, oh, wow, that. Wow. Oh, yeah, that. Wow. And all of a sudden, the more we hear these verses, the more this revelation is going to sit down on the inside of us and explode in our heart with a revelation that will help us set somebody else free who's around us and is bound by religiosity, and they really don't even know God. The saddest day in many people's lives, it's going to be the day of the rapture, because they're going to find out that all they had was churchianity, and they didn't ever make Jesus the Lord of their life. It's going to be a sad day. It'd be different if I wasn't in many different churches throughout my life, but I've been in I've been in every mainline denomination's church at least 10 times in each of them. I've sat and listened to their messages. I've helped people try to get free from this stuff that they've been taught. And this message is the message that people need to hear. And we're going to get it right now. So here we go. Follow along in your Bible. I'm going to begin reading in Romans chapter 3. And let's just see how far we can get. My goal is to get all the way through clear to chapter 8. Let's see how well it reads. And pray for me. As the old timers used to say, I'm getting ready to preach, so pray for me, folks. Because I got to be able to not talk while I read. Are you ready? Here we go. Romans chapter 3. God's judgment is defended. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. Now, I'm going to pause. The Jews had their righteousness in their circumcision. It was a mark from God. But that's all flesh. That's all flesh. Keep reading. If our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. Certainly not. For then, how will God judge the world? For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? Just keep going. Just follow me. And why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as we were slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, their condemnation is just. In those first 8 verses, Paul is dealing with what he said in chapter 2. But he's also dealing with a bunch of slanderous people that were writing things against him and speaking things against him. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. Everybody's under sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. Understands, there is none who seeks after God. And you'll notice that these words are italicized, and these words are from Psalms, I believe it's right, Psalm chapter 14. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is no one who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongue, They practice deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, how many know that's a messed up person? But you and I, take you and I away the Jesus out of us, and that's what all of us would be. We would be one of those. Verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, the word justified means just as if I never sinned. That's the word justified. You might want to write that right in your Bible, justified. Just as if I never sinned. By the law, no flesh is justified. The law taught us this is sin. But you're not justified by the law. You're only going to be justified freely by his grace. And in the Old Testament, you were only made right with God when there was bloodshed of an animal. Verse 21. I like the but nows of the Bible. The righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Don't look away. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, there's no difference. You and I receive righteousness by faith, and we function in Jesus' righteousness. 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Notice that after the word God, that's not a period. But most preachers who preach it as if it is a period. All have sinned, come short of the glory. So it doesn't matter what you do, you were going to sin. Well, wait, keep reading, because a comma means keep reading. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, who God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed. God, by a choice of his will, when by faith you receive Jesus, you receive his righteousness, God no longer imputes your sins to you. David said in Psalm 51, blessed is the man to whom God does not impute sin. Why? David had just sinned with Bathsheba. And David's sin, he said, my sin is ever before me. It's in front of my face. And then he said, and blessed is the man in whom God does not impute his sin against him. Give me a second, I'll give you that verse. No, I won't. It doesn't matter. It's back there somewhere. somebody find it and tell us, and we'll keep moving. I'm going to read 23 through 26 again. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. However, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth, Jesus, as a propitiation by his blood, sacrifice, the price, the atonement, the completion of forgiveness and price, Jesus, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. By faith, through grace, you are justified. You are made just as if you never sinned. You ready? Let's pray it simply. I receive your blood, and I receive your righteousness into my life. You'll notice we pray that every single night in our communion prayer. Verse 27. Where is boasting? Then it is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. It's not about how good you can be. It's about, by faith, I receive Jesus' blood that wiped him away. I receive his righteousness, and I get to live in right standing with God because I receive his righteousness. Keep reading. 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Now he's back to talking to them other people again. Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly on the contrary, we establish the law. Remember what Jesus said? I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. All of the law and the prophet are fulfilled, and they hang on these two testimonies, these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus completed the law. He became the sacrificial lamb. He carried the sins. He didn't become sin, because if he'd have become sin when he went to hell, he wouldn't have been able to get out. So he carried the sin and became the sacrifice for it. But when he got to hell, he dropped it, and he was the spotless lamb standing amongst the demons. And they couldn't touch him. And they couldn't hold him. And he was able to destroy all of their power and make them and nail them to the tree. It literally says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Now, we're going to talk about Abraham and circumcision. Just follow Paul all the way through this. Just keep following me. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. See, when it's by works, then people start boasting. When it's about how good you can be, then people can boast about that. Verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Our faith in Jesus' work is our righteousness. Now, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. So if it's a work that you're doing, then they owe you that, because it's wages, because you worked for it. You can brag about it. But there ain't no bragging in the kingdom, because it's all about Jesus. Verse 5, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You just believe. And he makes you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I wrote it right in my margin there. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from the works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin. And that's not Psalm 51. That's Psalm 32:1-2. Psalm 32:1-2. Blessed is the man to whom God does not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? You got to remember, Paul's dealing with the Jews of that day and the Gentiles that now had the Holy Spirit falling on them since the day of Pentecost. And God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on the men servants and the maid servants, on your sons and your daughters. And he gave no race. It was on all flesh. So since God poured it out on all flesh, now you and I got to say, the works of the law, circumcision in the flesh, is just an act of the law. And there's no righteousness in that in the New Testament. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. For we say that faith was counted to Abraham for righteousness. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Remember how I say it all the time, Hebrews 11:6. Faith is simple. You believe God is, he exists, and you believe he rewards you when you diligently seek him. And that is counted to you for righteousness. Verse 10. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. Verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. Though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. So let me put all that together. Before God said, Abraham, circumcise yourself and all your men servants, he had already believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. I know. I have the same question. Then why did the law come? And why didn't we just go from Abraham believed God, and let's all just believe God like Abraham? Keep reading. We'll see it. Verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, while which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. That's why the Bible says Abraham is the father of all who believe. Even you and I, he's the father of our faith. That righteousness might be imputed to them. Verse 12. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith, which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So as soon as Jesus came, the Gentiles were standing there. The Holy Spirit was falling all over them. They were speaking in tongues, prophesying, casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead. And the Jew standing next to him wasn't. And they're like, that guy's not circumcised, and this guy is. So there's this big battle on this. Verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Before the law, Abraham believed God, faith, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You and I believe God, and it's counted to us for righteousness, just like Abraham. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there's no transgression. If you don't have a law in front of you, you don't know you're doing wrong. Which is what the wicked people of America is trying to do right now. Get rid of all the laws, then nobody knows they're doing wrong. Everybody just does what's right in their own eyes. 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they do, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. God calling things that be not as though they are, as they exist, called Abraham righteous before the law. And because Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness 25 years later, even though his body was dead to having children. He began to give birth to children. Isaac was born. Sarah died. He got married to Keturah, and I think he had 7 more kids after he was 100 years old because his body came back to life. Let's keep reading. I'm going to read 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was also able to perform. And therefore, it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who has delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. You and I, all of the blessings and the benefits of the kingdom of God by faith. When you think about this, Abraham was our example because God showed up and said, walk before me and be perfect and be holy. And Abraham said, all right. And God said, well, get up in the morning and get going. All right. And he did. And whatever God told him to do, he obeyed him. Now, the only problem Abraham had is he obeyed Sarah when Sarah told him to do something he shouldn't do. Now, let's see. I want to read chapter 5 because it kind of puts a seal on this. So let's just do it. I won't preach. I'll just read. Having been justified by faith, just as if we hadn't sinned, why? Because we believe God, and it's counted to us for righteousness. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Here comes Jesus, and here comes the free gift of righteousness. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, and yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, Jesus died a long time ago. He did it so that he could demonstrate his love. 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, just as if I never sin, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10. For if we were enemies, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved, and we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Well, what does reconciliation mean except made one with the Father? You are returned to the relationship with the Father, reconciled to the Father. Well, how? Through Jesus' blood. And when his blood comes, his righteousness comes. And now the Father who said, be ye therefore perfect, even as I am perfect. Father said that. Now we get to be perfect because we get to have Jesus' righteousness. And you're not perfect in the fact that you don't ever make a mistake or stub your toe or bump your head or something. You're perfect in the fact that his righteousness makes you perfect before God, in the sight of God, because you walk with him every single day. In John chapter 4, Jesus said, the Father is seeking those who will walk before him and be perfect. I've gone to preaching, and I got to get back to reading. Let's read verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned, until the law of sin was in the world, sin is not imputed where there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. One man sinned, and it affected everybody. It went clear down in his genes. And when you give birth to a child, that child is, even though they just came from heaven, is born into this sin-filled world, and at some point has to make a choice for Jesus so that they can be made righteous. Verse 15 through 21 is some of the most important verses in the whole New Testament. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, how much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one, many, one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. I got too many underlines and arrows. I couldn't see that said man. By the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounds to many. 16. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. However, the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. It is a free gift, and all you do is reach out and receive it. 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, the free gift of righteousness, will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. The more we get a revelation of righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the more you and I are going to act like kings and priests to God, not have a down day, because not too many kings have down days, because they just go crush whatever enemy's in their way. We don't crush humans. We crush the demon, and we get the person free. The worst of the wicked we get free, and we help them find Jesus. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one a free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of your life, just as if you hadn't sinned. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. You'll be made righteous by Jesus' righteousness. The law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So then, as sin reigned in death, even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wow. Five times in chapter 5, God says, by the Holy Spirit, it's the free gift of righteousness. It's a gift. Now, I got to have one more verse. I got to show you this verse. John 17. John 17. And let's go to through 26. We just got to put the whole reference in there. John 17, 20 through 26. I do not pray for these alone, the disciples, but also for those who will believe, that's you and me. We believe in their word. 21. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, what's going to happen is you and I become one with the Father and Jesus. We're going to, like Mary was saying earlier, you're going to begin to look like him. You're going to begin to talk like him. You're going to begin to act like Jesus. And the world's going to look at you and say, there's something different about you. If that's not happening to you, then we got to ask some questions about it. Did you really find Jesus, or did you just find religiosity? When we pray the prayer of salvation, do you mean it? Yes, Pastor, I do. I believe you do. Verse 22, the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. So God gave Jesus a glory, and Jesus functioned in it. Well, Jesus gave us his righteousness, so the Father gave Jesus his righteousness. Talk about glory. Verse 23, I and them, you and me, that we may be made perfect and one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you've loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Look at the beginning of 25. O righteous Father, where did Jesus get his righteousness from?
From his Father.
From his Father. And that's where we get the righteousness from, is from Jesus. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit not to be so good that nobody else could ever attain that goodness. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to say what Jesus, the Father said, do what the Father did, and receive the Father's life into his life.
Can you say that again? I need to register in my head.
Yes, it does. It needs to register in all of our heads. Think about this statement. I'm just going to say it. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do.
Yeah.
And I only say what I hear my Father say.
Yeah.
Jesus just called Father, O righteous Father. Jesus received his righteousness from the Father.
Yeah.
You and I receive Father's righteousness through Jesus. Because through Jesus, we have access to the grace in which we stand. We have access to the throne room of God. And we have that same righteousness that Jesus paid the price for in his life to receive it and to walk in it every day. He was the perfect example because he lived without sin on this earth. And he lives on the inside of us. Therefore, we have the ability, and actually according to the Apostle John, we have the new nature so that we will not sin. First John 3:6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his, God's, seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God, and our nature is righteousness now. It's no longer a nature of sin. Now, it doesn't say that a man cannot sin, because the New Testament is filled with the testimonies of those who once walked with God and decided to go chase the world. Paul said about Demas, Demas has forsaken because he loved this present world. So it definitely can happen if a person wants to go sin. But when that happens, you trample Jesus underfoot. You count the blood of the covenant a common thing, and you insult the Spirit of grace. And Jesus said the day of his coming is going to be like 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And the 5 foolish ones did not get in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Even though they knew where to get the oil, and when they realized they were low, went, got it, came back with oil in their lamps, and Jesus said, the door is shut. The rapture will have taken place, and they'll be standing here with the full lamp saying, I just missed it. I just missed it because I didn't keep my lamp trimmed and burning bright in Jesus' mighty name. That's not some weird religious position of super superior, holy living, stack your hair up and have all of these things that you do to prove your righteousness. No, you just wake up every day, walk with God, and whatever he tells you to do, go do. Just go do it, because that's what's going to give you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed this. Here's the value of it. If we don't ever open up this Bible and begin to worship and talk with God and fellowship with him about his word, then we don't ever get to that next level of understanding. Even though you may not understand everything that the Bible says, every time you read it, keep reading, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then all of a sudden, as you read it, it'll begin to make sense, and you'll begin to say, my, I'm beginning to see this picture all of a sudden. And I'm going to tell you, if you've been a part of one of those ministries or churches that have taught this, the only thing you got to do is be born again, this can be a very challenging message to you. Because usually those people that tell you all you have to do is be born again also will tell you that you're going to be every day in word, thought, and deed. And those two doctrines are going to give you a hard time with these doctrines in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. And it's time to receive communion right now tonight. If you want to stick around for a little bit after we're finished and receive the communion elements, we can still talk about this some more in the Zoom room and get Blog Talk Radio finished, and we'll keep going. Well, Mary, call you blessed. We love you. We appreciate you being here with us. And we always love it when you're a part of communion with us, too. No condemnation. We just love it when you're with us for communion.
Boy, does that make me feel guilty if I leave early?
No,
you know how to work it.
No guilt or shame intended. Communion is for those who are not slackers.
Lord have mercy on
my soul. We love you. It's just so good to hear your voice, Mary. I've been praying for you and just speaking the will of God and the blessing of God on you and Don and your family. And thank
it's good to be here, but I have a way to go for recovery. I really do. But I'm taking it one day at a time.
Well, and we're praying for God to restore the years that the locust has eaten. All of it. I heard a testimony again the other night. Matter of fact, I saw it right in front of my eyes. I was watching a message, and the pastor was on the platform. I was studying the message. The pastor was on the platform. He's like, somebody here, you had a problem, and he kept getting these words of knowledge and this and that. He goes, there's a couple of you in here that you're going to get a full overhaul tonight, aren't you? And when it was finished, he said, if you have a visible healing in your body, come up here. And the one lady went up there and she said, sir, when you said you're going to get a full overhaul, I got one immediately on the spot by the rush of God's presence and power going all over me. And he said, well, share it with us. And she said, well, I was in an accident and tore my rotator cuff, and I've not been able to lift my shoulder. And she's waving her hand. She just cranked, and she said something on her leg, and then she had something happen to her head, and she said, it's gone. I can move my neck. The lady literally standing there in that place received an overhaul of healing by God and received like 5 or 6 different healings all at one time in one service, just hooking her faith and saying, I came here to be healed, and I'm going to be healed tonight. And that's what I'm believing for you and every one of us, that everything the enemy's done throughout our life to stop us from receiving the blessing of God, everything will be restored by the wonderful, amazing hand of Almighty God through healing. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless not only Sister Mary, but every one of us. According to Joel chapter 2, you said, I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. You'll restore the years. Those unable to be pregnant will be pregnant. Those unable to be healed from a specific process will be healed. And it'll be restored, and they'll get the youth and the vigor of their life back. I command you, foul spirit of infirmity, release your grip on these people's spirit, soul, and body now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I declare in Jesus' mighty name that healing virtue of Calvary goes all over you now. And from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, you are restored in your spirit, your soul, and in your body. And the spirit of infirmity can't keep the symptoms hanging around another day. We proclaim it now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. And amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's keep right on going, and we'll go right into communion. For those of you who are just joining with us, this might be your first time. You're probably saying, here's my wife. That's what you're
saying. They were saying that, but
that's what you're saying. Here's
hey,
my wife.
I'm Mrs. Sam. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
I got to listen quite a bit. It was so good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Part of the program.
Yeah.
Studying next to you.
Oh, no, hearing your voice.
Mary's like, Mary's like, oh, yeah, I can catch up right here. Love you, babe.
Yes, we do.
Now,
we have issues.
For those of you who are part of our program, you just showing up, you're like, what are you guys? We are a group of believers that love to be together. We come here every single night of the week. Well, we come here Monday through Saturday at this time and study the Word of God and grow and develop in the things of God. And then we go out into our world and change our world wherever we go and whatever we're doing. And we're in 50 different nations of the world. There's people that are listening to us from time to time, whether it's live or somewhere in the future. Thank God for every one of you that's with us. We're going to receive communion now. This might not be how you do it in your church, but how they do it in Moscow is probably not how they do it in Singapore. And how they do it in Australia is probably not how they do it in New York City. Who knows? The idea is we're going to follow the pattern that the Holy Spirit has given us as we establish this ministry, and we welcome you to receive it. If you are a part of the body of Christ and you've been born again, you can receive communion with us, because it's the body of Christ we're taking. It's not the body of your church. It's the body of Christ. And that's available to anyone in the whole world. And I tell people on a regular basis, I've had it in the Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Lutheran church, the Episcopal church, the Catholic church, Pentecostal, Holiness, Pentecostals, Charismaniacs, Word of Faith. I've had it. I've taken communion in bars and in biker groups and in parking lots. And I've had communion all over, because I believe this is one of the greatest answers to the body of Christ in the last days, is that there is a new, there's a revival of the communion elements, where we gather together around the blood of Jesus and the body of Christ. We drop all of our offenses and we come together to be his body. In Jesus' mighty name, here we go with our verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 31. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You proclaim he died, he rose again, his body was broken, and he made room for me. Verse 28, here's the process. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Examine yourself. And I have a real easy message for you. Just say, I need you, Jesus. And that makes you worthy. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. How's that? Because as he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. How can that be, Pastor? Because he's the head and we are the body of Christ. Verse 18, love has been perfected. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment, the trauma that goes with fear, because there is no fear in God's perfect love. And for every one of you who have had a traumatic event, makes it tough for you to receive from Almighty God. I bind you, foul spirit of trauma. You release your grip in their life right now, and you let them go free and receive all of the blessing of God in Jesus' mighty name. Well, our next step is to pray the prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication. Verse 28 says, let a man examine himself, and then let him receive eat the bread and drink the cup. A whole lot of teaching has said, if you've sinned, don't come near the church on the day of communion. Are you kidding me? If you've sinned, don't wait for church. Go to your refrigerator and get your elements and repent immediately using the body and blood of Jesus.
Amen.
The communion elements are designed to help you get free from sin. What verse 27 is talking about. Don't come in here mocking God, mocking communion, and expect that you're not going to be drinking damnation to yourself. And if you show up at church saying, God, I need you, you're worthy, and now you receive them communion elements. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Even if you've been born again for years, it's faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, all you Zoomers, turn your mics on. Let's say it out loud.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you. You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Here's where you make your declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your hands up and just do it. I receive you into my life. All of your grace and your mercy.
All
of your love and your righteousness. Filling every part of my life. With all of the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
High five.
Good to see you, Miss Phyllis.
I was just going
to
say,
see all of the precious people.
And you guys are interrupting my communion service just to say hi.
High five.
Hi, Phyllis. Love you.
Love you too. What's the Bible study for is not to say I love you to everybody.
It's all right. We missed you.
We did. So
good. I missed you too.
For every one of you that don't know Sister Phyllis, she's just one of us. She's one of our sisters in the Lord. And she's been off gallivanting around the world, and we're glad that she's back with us today.
Yes.
Now, for those of you who just got born again, welcome to the family of God. We're glad to have you with us. Let me be the first to invite you to the body of Christ and say it this way. You're my brother. You're my sister.
You're my brother, sister.
You're part of the greatest family there ever was.
You're part of the greatest family that ever was.
You know, when you begin to think about what God actually does when you're born again, and you realize he not only makes you a new creation, but he also adopts you into his family. Wow. Your sins are forgiven, made white as snow, thrown in the sea of his forgetfulness. He installs his righteousness in you. And now you're adopted into the family of God, and God literally becomes your father. He said, I will be to you a father, and you will be my children. Amazing what God just did. Now, this is what happened. Jesus came in. He went from darkness to light. You went from fear to faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. So you just got filled with faith. And Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So don't say you don't have faith anymore. That's another whole message. Let's stay focused here. Now, you'll say, how do I walk with God, Pastor? How do I become a Christian? Well, you already have become born again. You're already in the family. Now, we just got to help you learn to walk with God every single day. You got to walk with God. Now, you might say, how am I going to do that, Pastor? Well, wake up in the morning, and before you roll out of bed, put your feet on the floor, say, Father, help me walk with you today. When you stop at your morning break, say the same thing. When you eat lunch, say the same thing. Afternoon break, say the same thing. When you pray over your food at night, say the same thing with your family. Why? Because God is going to walk with you every day, all day long. And he's going to help you walk with him, because Father is seeking those who will walk with him every single day of their life.
Amen.
And then stick with us, and we'll help you get to know who God is right here. We got lots of videos to teach you the ways of the Lord. And you send me an email, I'll send you 10 verses I believe are the most foundation verses. And when you get those established in your life and you've spoken them out loud and you say, Pastor, I got it, I got 10 more verses I'll send you. Why? Because it's how much word you put down in your life is how much you enjoy your Christian life. The more word in, the more enjoyment you get out of it. And we welcome you to be a part of this life. Subscribe and hit the bell so that you can be a part of everything we do. We've got lots of programs here that will help you know how to walk with God every day of your life. Are you ready? I can just keep going, but it's time to receive our communion elements together. Get you some bread and some grape juice, bread and water, chips, and Coke. I used to go into prison. And we had, what's the grape pop?
Fanta?
That wasn't Fanta. Fago. It was Fago. Yeah, it was a Fago grape pop was all that was in the vending machine. And Cheez-Its. And when I was discipling the guy in prison, because I couldn't bring anything in, but that was our communion. And we would sit there right in the midst of everybody and receive communion together with Cheez-Its and a grape pop. And then once we got done, we drank the rest of it and ate the chips while we talked about Jesus right there. And that's, you know, there's another place I took communion. It was in prison,
yeah,
in the waiting room. And transformed that man's life. He's still a powerful believer on this day. Gone to preaching again. Here we go. Let's bless our elements and we'll receive them together. Here we go. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes, I am healed.
And by your stripes, I am healed.
And I thank you for it. I'm healed in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
I'm healed in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing and nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
every joint to the part of my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body. Body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body. We receive your life, Jesus. We receive it. And we thank you for it. Hallelujah. And now we lift up the cup of blessing. Phew. The whole Passover feast in 5 minutes. That's what Jesus did. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
What a thought. Forever. By the blood of Jesus, I'm a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I'm a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague's got to pass over.
And
cannot be on me or my family. My conscience is purged.
My
robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
Or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive the blood of Jesus that was shed for you and me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Well, let's sing. We've been singing this song. I learned so many new songs on that communion service with Brother Lou Engel that I'm ready to start singing some of them, but I don't know them yet, so I'll just have to keep listening to them. But we've been singing this one. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to your name. Now, we love to have you with us while we are a part of this. And so all of you who are new to us, we encourage you, come and be with us and enjoy the Word of God and the teaching of God's holy word in our lives. There's nobody here that's the big guy and everybody else is the little guy. I am a pastor. I am a fivefold ministry leader. I am anointed by God to be that. And so you and I will work together. Everybody's got a gift on the inside of them, and it's an important thing that you begin to use your gift and find your place in the kingdom of God and in the body of Christ. It's just it's time that happens for you and for everybody, because your gift is only your gift. Nobody else has what you have. And when you stand before Jesus, he's not going to ask you about anybody else nobody on the face of the earth. So I encourage you, come and be with us and begin to learn to bring that gift alive in God, and we'll help you walk with him. I don't say this every night because, but if you need a place to tithe, if you're between churches, this is a good place. This is a ministry. This is a body of Christ. You send your tithe in, we'll bless it like any other ministry. We tithe on your tithe. That's how we work it around here. And it'll help us get the work of the ministry done that we do right here. And God's got a big plan for this ministry and where he wants to take us and everybody he wants us to reach. Like we said earlier, we are literally preaching in 50 nations of the world. I saw some more numbers again today. Once again, this week, this month, last 28 days, over 1,800 people clicking in. We're over 5,000 hours worth of videos that have been watched, or some interesting number. And it's just amazing what God is doing through Blog Talk Radio and through YouTube. And, you know, those of you that join us on Zoom, you're welcome to be here. YouTube runs every time we're on. And we just are glad to have you be a part of what we're doing. Amen. Got hundreds and hundreds. What did we say last night? 932 days. We have 932 videos available for you to study. Thank you, Facebook and YouTube, for your archive process. And we can help you find 1 or 10 or 20 of them that will help you grow in God and be established in the kingdom in Jesus' mighty name. Well, Sister Phyllis is back. Sister Phyllis, you're going to read the verses for us this evening.
Oh, I would love to. Yes. And am I? I'm not muted? All right. Okay. Jude 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Turn on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
And is it all right if I read two verses from Revelation?
Yep.
The 1, verse 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Kings and priests under God, who is going to present us faultless before his throne because we walk with him every day. Hold your hands out like this. Say it with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I sow my time, my talent, and my treasure.
I sow my time, my talent, and my treasure.
Into the kingdom of God right here.
Into the kingdom of God.
We reach out and reap every soul. Who heard the sound of our voice tonight.
Or someday in the future.
We know the Bible says he that reaps souls is wise.
We know the Bible says that he who reaps souls is wise.
And I might as well be wise. I receive my hundredfold return. That you promised in Mark chapter 10. So we can preach the gospel. Around the world now.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Well, Blog Talk Radio, thanks for being with us. We are glad to have all y'all out there in whatever nation. Remember this, if you want this translated into your nation, into your native language, please send me an email and say, Pastor, how are we going to do this? And I've got a plan from God to help you. Matter of fact, you will help me do it, and we'll get this done so that the people in your native language, which may not be English, will be able to know and understand and will be a blessing. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. And everywhere you go, know that you are a life warrior. And in every city that you move into, everything you do, speak life and life more abundantly in that city and be a blessing to those people. Because we learned tonight in Proverbs today that the righteous bring life into the city in Jesus' mighty name. We'll see you soon.